Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
Or are you? And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all cleared to know the truth. Truth this week is, Josh, that I've always been a big fan of Fitz. I've always loved Fitz. Excuse me. Oi. Boy. I got something stuck in my throat there, I think.
And I'm Director Stolte.
Uh-oh. Are we doing this again?
Oh, no. Yeah, I just wasn't paying attention. Sorry. No, we're good. We're good.
We can't both be LMDs, because then...
Or can we?
Oh, that'd be great. We could both be down in, like, you know, the Bahamas, like, taking a break, send our LMDs up here to watch the show, record the episode, release the podcast. That'd be awesome.
That always works. There's never any problems with that
Nothing
scenario.
Nothing can
right
go
there.
Wrong.
No. Nope. Not at all.
So, really fun episode this week. Overall, I think you can, you know, you look back at this and you go, okay, you know, it's relatively straightforward, but I felt like as we're, at least as I was watching it, there were a lot of little twists, paying very close attention to all the characters because I knew something was up. And as soon as you found out there was, you know, that other LMD around, like we talked about last week, boy, it could have been anybody, it seemed like, so...
Yeah. Really cool. I think I've mentioned on the show before that I'm very easy to fool, and I'm okay with that because it makes, you know, watching things like this a lot more pleasant than some people that see things as very obvious. I don't. But I think this was a nice little twist that people probably didn't see coming at least a little further out. Maybe as the show went on a little bit this week it did. But, hey, I was thoroughly entertained and surprised and – you know, it was some of those, oh yeah, moments right there, you know,
yeah.
Especially when Fitz was starting to come to his realization.
The action scenes were good. I think, I did see through some of the pieces, but I didn't see through other stuff. So it's cool because, I felt like when they were trying to misdirect me with one thing, I was like, no, I'm not fooled by that, but they were, you know, sliding something else in behind that. That I was completely oblivious to. So,
yeah, which is good. That's exactly what it was supposed to do, I think.
This show, there was a lot of talk about cliches late in the show. This show is the epitome of not a cliche, I think. This is, I feel that they just, I don't know. Maybe they, there's some things they do, I think, but they do it to play into the audience's expectations. You know, like they did in the season opener with the killer robot, you know, and, oh, we've defeated the robot, and so everything's fine, you know. And then they reveal the fact that, you know, there's another robot and all this kind of stuff. They're really fresh about their approach, and I think they're smart producers and writers, and they know what the audience is going to realize, and they're smart by playing into those themes and ideas that the audience expects things to happen, and then they, you know, pull their strings and twist them a little bit. So
are we here because of viewer opinion and feedback and comments, or are we here because it just you know, they just happen to be on a high on their writing scale? They just really are hitting it this season. Do you think that's it, or do you think that they listen to a few things that people have said over the years? Because I feel the show has just gotten better and better.
Yeah, I when I chart this to people, I don't really have a lot of ups and downs. It's kind of more just a gradual climb, you know, because everything on the show builds on what was done before. there may be some feedback that, you know, they've looked at what fans have said, but honestly, you know, even in the entire Marvel universe, there's stuff that people liked and there's stuff that people haven't liked. But I kind of see the producers of the shows and the movies, they're just kind of doing what they enjoy. And it seems that there are enough other people that enjoy it as well. But yeah, you're right. They may, you know, there may be some little corrections here, or, you know, there may be something going on, and that, especially with the humor, you know.
Well, I feel like Coulson,
you know, people really Coulson responded gotten, to that. So, you know, that's
for sure. I feel like Coulson has gotten back to his roots in his banter and comments and abilities, even.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that's, you know, that's probably what they like as well. The producers and the writers. So who knows? But why don't we talk about this episode here this week? And you can let us know what it is. You can give us the stats, as it were.
Yeah. Give you the 411.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's a great way to put it.
Well, since this is season 4, episode 11.
Oh, I see what you did.
Which aired January 24th, 2017. Wake up! That's the name of the episode. I wasn't implying that you were napping on the job.
I'm here.
That's right. Wake Up is written by Drew Z. Greenberg and directed by Jesse Bochco, two veterans there, which I think showed very much in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's really nothing more relaxing than a really, really long sleep. You know, one of those where you're just lounging around all day, maybe even all weekend, mm-hmm. day after day.
Yep.
No, wait. You know what's more relaxing than that?
What's that?
A facial.
Oh, like a spa.
Yeah, letting your skin breathe, feeling free and healthy. Nothing's better than that. Wait, no, you know what? Unless, I got it, a massage.
Oh,
a calming
yeah.
back rub with nice strong hands making your aching body sing with relaxation. There's absolutely nothing better than that. Unless you count maybe waking up from your drug-induced coma, escaping your bonds, and skillfully fighting the life model decoy that's holding you hostage because of orders from Dr. Radcliffe.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I mean, I can see how that would be enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, that pretty much sums up May's life right now. But, you know, her mind continues to fight the memory implants that have been boom-boomed into her brain. Yeah. Even when she beats the program, but then wakes her up before she goes. It keeps her hanging on like a yo-yo, and Coulson and Mac and Fitz and all the rest of her friends back at S.H.I.E.L.D., they don't even realize she's gone, of course. Now, when the Life May decoy taking her place, they all seem perfectly happy to do the jitterbug and take on the next mission. That mission is secretly to put surveillance equipment in Senator Nadir's office so they can keep a close eye on her. As Daisy speaks to a group of politicians about the Sokovia Accords. Unfortunately, of course, the plan turns out worse than fried cauliflower. And they all get caught bringing some unwanted negative attention and the wrath of the ever-eloquent General Talbot.
Fart bubbles.
Well, Fitz finally realizes that they've been spied on by someone using the LMDs, but when they take Radcliffe into custody, he discovers that the good doctor is also not all that he seems to be.
That was brilliant, Josh. When I ask you to do the briefs each week, you know, I've always had faith that you would do a good job. So
this particular week serves as not only a summary of the show, but also a little tribute, you know?
Yeah. Man, we lost so many people in 2016.
It just keeps going.
You know what? We need to get some LMDs of some of these actors and actresses and musicians that we've lost. That would be great.
I agree. Well, but until then, we have to settle on the LMDs that we have here at S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sounds good. Doesn't seem to be much news this week other than just some information about, you know, upcoming episodes. Preview for next week looks great, but really don't want to get into that too much because we do have a lot of things to cover on our Wake Up episode here. So, well, with the episode title being called Wake Up, you know, I think it's very obvious that there's going to be some, you know, storylines with characters waking up or coming to the realization of certain things. So obviously, May is one of those people. She appears to wake up, though she did for real, I guess, last week. But they then, what do they call it? The framework? Is that the name of the program that they were working with, I guess?
Ooh, I think so. Yeah, that sounds right.
And they give her, instead of the relaxing stone massages and facials and back rubs and everything else that are going on, they actually give her a storyline of her escaping and fighting Ada, which seems to work for most of the episode, but she slowly gets further and further through that. With May, we got a lot of our questions answered. I know that over the last, what is this? This is the third episode since we got back, right? So over the last two previous episodes, we've had a number of questions about when was May taken? How did the LMD know everything? I know one of my things was like, how did the LMD know about the wine that they were supposed to drink when they got back?
Yeah, I wondered that stuff too. She knows a lot of personal details that you'd think that only May knows.
Right, and immediate details too.
But I think if Radcliffe has the ability to implant these amazingly detailed memories and images into her head, maybe they have the ability to get some out too.
Well, I mean, it seems like when they pulled everything out, basically they, Ada knocked May out in that time, however brief it wasn't very long at all. She was able to basically download May's brain. Like, you know, like you download a file or, you know, you make a copy of a hard drive or something like that, and then uploaded that into the May LMD. And you saw that.
Do you think that when she first started uploading May's brain, it was like not really clear, you know, like Netflix, you know, like at first it was kind of fuzzy and then maybe it buffered a little bit, you know, and it
got better. That's probably why they had to keep the LMD unconscious while they were doing that. You know, that was the dressed montage there. But, you know, I mean, it was the last thing that the real May asked was, you know, what's the neural inhibitor or whatever the device was that she was talking about. And the first thing that the LMD says is the exact same thing. So it's showing you that, you know, if everything that was May is now in this LMD, which is, you know, I mean, it's pretty incredible that they've got this. I mean, I would think it would be great to do like psychoanalysis on somebody. You know, you download their brain, you then, you know, ask them questions, find out what's going wrong with them, and then you can like correct them later or something. I don't know.
Oh, that is interesting. Just in case you screw it up and then you don't actually screw the real person up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was so much so, and Radcliffe said this, that she didn't, the fake May didn't realize who she was. And when she did finally realize exactly what was going on, it was interesting how she didn't even panic or anything. She just knew right away. She's like, oh, I'm not even real, right? So she went straight to Radcliffe, but she can't do anything about it for now.
I know.
But,
yeah. And that was interesting how she kind of, you know, she had the realization at one point there at S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was just like, like you said, you know, it's just like she knew, you know, we could do an entire philosophical podcast about, you know, the nature of reality and how do you know you're really you and, you know, how do you know you're not in some kind of simulation, you know, like the Matrix or...
I'm still hoping.
Westworld. You're hoping you are in a simulation?
I'm hoping this isn't real. But I find it just fascinating that Ada was like Radcliffe's first successful accomplishment in this LMD, you know, path that he's on.
Yeah.
And since then and okay, so wait, let me back up. And so the Ada, I think they talk about this, he and Fitz, how Ada is, you know, she goes through these mathematical formulas almost to interpret what emotions are supposed to be and how you react to people.
Yeah, she
and
kind
how
of
you
fakes
respond.
It, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
But since they've made her, since Radcliffe made her, it's gone above and beyond that. And now, I mean, the fake May is not just – I mean, it probably is the exact same thing with the mathematical formulas calculating what should happen next and how you should anticipate this. But now it's so much more complex that you can't even tell the difference. So I'm – you know, in my mind, that's what the brief glimpse at the Darkhold gave to Radcliffe. Is that ability to make them that much better. Because before – Ada was made before the Darkhold.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of the rest of the LMDs, we assume, were made after he saw the Darkhold.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. I kind of thought that it was more of a – you know, the trial and error of Ada led to the next version, the May LMD, which is, as far as her friends go, indistinguishable, though – You know, we saw that it looked like Coulson might have thought something was going on last week, but I don't know. I think that was just a little misdirection. I think we're supposed to notice some things about the May LMD that she seems a little bit off, a little more thoughtful, maybe is how I'd put
more
it.
More sensitive, almost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if he's implanted these other. Not memories, but like commands, I guess he was talking about, that to her would be indistinguishable from her memories. You know, he's trying to – it seems to me like he's trying to get her to get closer to Coulson because that's how she's going to find out the information of where the Darkhold is. But as you talk about – the Ada being like the version one of the software and May being version two of the software. Then there's version three of the software, which you couldn't even tell the difference. Like there was no clues that I could find in the episode that pointed out that, Radcliffe was the third LMD. I'm not even sure exactly when he would have been replaced. It would have been, well, I guess, he could have been working with Senator Nadir previously, but
it didn't sound like it. It sounded like he came to her after he realized he had the potential to be compromised.
It had to be right before the Senate hearings then, you know, sometime in this episode that he did the replacement stuff. So. It was pretty interesting, but
May has has kind of awakened, right? She wakes up, but not really. But I mean, I think that was the foundation for the title, the wake up,
right?
And
you're supposed to think that she really is waking up too. I mean, that's the other thing.
several times, but she realizes it. And they say she gets further along every time. So eventually she is going to break out of this trance again, kind of like she did when they had her go into the spa.
Well, maybe, because that's what at the end of the episode, that's what Radcliffe was saying, that if you put her in a peaceful thing, she would just fight out of it because she didn't want to be there. That was almost immediate. Then they put her in this fighting mode, and that kept her – for a while, but she slowly got better and started to win. And so that was a problem. So at the end of the episode, he's put her into the, basically he's taken her back to Bahrain to fight, the fight with the girl from whatever it was like 5 years ago or something, where, like that is the one moment in her life that is the center of her character's pain. And he's basically sending her back there to win. And in her brain now, she has completed that. So maybe that just like breaks down all the barriers. That's going to keep her from fighting. Like now, you know, there's nothing else that's going to impede her. She can be happy because she is taking care of this.
You're thinking that she's got some closure now, and she doesn't need to fight as hard.
Yeah, and that's what's going to allow her to find a relationship with Coulson, as we was kind of intimated in this episode and everything. It's just that kind of that psychic moment, that the mental barrier that has been up in her brain that she's been preoccupied with, probably always thinking, oh, what could I have done different? What could I have done different? And I always have to do better, and I have to keep fighting, getting stronger. And, it's that defining moment. So it'll be interesting to see what becomes of the actual May character after this. I'm sure she'll still be interesting, but it's definitely going to change the nature of all of her relationships.
And can you imagine if in her brain she does – I mean, because now that she's won, saved this girl in her mind, and she's supposedly going to be calmer, so where does this program go? Is it kind of go random places now? So now maybe she can pursue this relationship with Coulson. So can you imagine if she has this relationship with Coulson in her mind, eventually does wake up, or they rescue her or whatever, and she's got all these – false memories and these true feelings for Coulson.
So
that could bring it to an interesting place, especially since they kind of implied that when Yo-Yo was talking to Coulson, how she was kind of implying how it was obvious that those two had some kind of relationship feelings, I guess.
Yeah, no, you're kidding. No. And then she's like, yeah, it's pretty obvious. So. Well, so who else was waking up in this episode, do you think?
Well, I mentioned Radcliffe went to Nadir because he realized that he hadn't been compromised yet. He had the potential to be compromised once Ada was stopped from getting the Darkhold a couple episodes ago. So he was kind of awake to that fact.
Mm-hmm.
That and remember, well, I guess remember, he's under the influence of the Darkhold.
Yeah, however brief it was, there's still something that's drawing him to it, right?
Yeah, and I really do think that it has to do with the Darkhold. I mean, he was kind of a bit of a shaky morals kind of guy before this season. Mm-hmm. That's how we met him, right? But it seemed to be a lot of potential to have at least good intentions when he was working with Fitz. It wasn't until after the Darkhold got a hold of him that he had these ideas of what he wanted to do. And we saw that happened with, Ghost Rider's uncle as well, who was also a very moral person. And his experience with all of those scientists, it seemed like, were very moral people. And their experience with the Darkhold just twisted them around completely.
Yeah. I want him to be redeemed. I want to like him. I want him to continue in the show because I think John Hannah does a great job. But that's what they do on this show. They get good actors to come in and play really good roles, and we may not see them again after they finish that role and stuff like that.
Yeah,
hopefully,
once they'll come back. Whatever in mind for him is over.
Yeah. Well, I guess Senator Nadir awakens to what S.H.I.E.L.D. is up to. I'm sure she was extremely happy to have someone waltz into her office and offer up information on Coulson and Talbot and everything that's going on.
Man. Oh, my gosh. People like this make my blood boil.
The senator?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That just they have a... I guess a goal or a plan or at least what I would consider bad intentions, and they're very smart about it, and they use every possible opportunity to manipulate people into getting what they want.
Yeah, she's pathological in what she's doing here. I mean, she knows there's going to be the break in, and she's leading Daisy down the questioning path and, trying to twist words, and it's frustrating.
Daisy was so confident going into those hearings, which foolishly confident, I think. I mean, in any situation like that, I don't think you should be overconfident about it. Because I don't think she thought it was going to be a big deal. She's like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll sign them and then still do what I'm doing, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like effortless for Nadir to get under her skin. And those are the kind of people that scare me to death. The kind of people that you think, number one, that you think you could probably go toe to toe with, and then they shock you with a lot of advantages you didn't realize they had. And number two, somebody that you can't really reason with. She strikes me as somebody that you could not reason with. I can't see them making Nadir somebody that could be redeemed.
She's not going to reach across the aisle, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I still think that she may be an inhuman of some kind, has some sort of psychic, emotional power or something like that. Something that drives some of this other stuff. I don't know. You know, I mean, she doesn't seem to know a lot without having been told it. I don't know. There's obviously something else going on. We've got this character, the Superior, which I think we are going to be introduced to him next week. It sounds like Radcliffe needs to meet with him. So maybe they're actually at that location now. I don't know. Did you notice what it looked like where Radcliffe was at the end of the episode where they've moved May to? You know, they've moved out of his house.
Right.
To some other location. And to me, it looked like they were on an old ship or maybe a submarine or something. Well, probably not a submarine because it was still relatively spacious, unless it's a TV submarine, which, you know, can obviously be huge. but it looked like a boat, kind of like the ones from Age of Ultron. You know, just there was piping on the walls and you know, weird objects. The doorways seemed to be rounded on their
that
edges.
Is interesting.
And stuff.
I did not know. I wasn't really paying attention to that so much. And now that you pointed out, that's interesting. So you think we're going to meet the Superior next week?
Yeah, I think so. There was a press release and for one of the upcoming episodes that did list a character name or an actor for the Superior.
Right. Right.
So I do know the Koenigs, a Koenig, more than one Koenig. Whatever. The Patton Oswalt. He'll be back next week.
One or more members of the Koenig family.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. Well, let's see. The L. May D. Kind of woke up. She had the realization, as we talked about, that she wasn't real. On a second viewing of the episode, it was very clear in the scene where she's sitting with Mace and Coulson and Talbot, and they're all talking about the plan, about how Yo-Yo is going to go in with Coulson, and they're going to do all this stuff. And it's like, oh, yep, right there. That's where she's transmitting. So that would kind of have to be the point where Senator Nadir was working with Radcliffe. But you know what else was revealed in that sequence right there? There was it didn't mean anything to me the first time through because, you know, I didn't know what I was looking for. But now I realize that in that briefing, Mace is also revealed or mentioned by Coulson or somebody that he doesn't have any powers, that he's not really inhuman. So that's something else that Nadir has now that she can use against them later. But she may have already known that, given the fact that if she was the one that hired through the watchdogs, the people to steal the Patriot suitcase last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she may have known that. But either way, I mean, Radcliffe didn't know it. You know, the fake May did not know it because that was not revealed before the real May was captured.
Yeah.
So it's out there a little bit more. Oh,
Let's see what else. I kind of saw that there was a scene where Mace is kind of giving advice to Daisy And he's sort of waking up, realizing that he doesn't have to put on this song and dance every time he walks into a room anymore. It's a kind of a load off his shoulders, and he's counseling Daisy on that. You know, the way to act and stuff like that, because I think he might see a little bit of what he was going through in her, given, you know, her background and stuff like that. So,
you know, they seem to be developing a bit of a relationship, those two. Have you noticed that? Daisy and
Mace.
And Mace, yeah.
Yeah.
And even I saw this is like out of universe show, but she tweeted out a picture with Jason O'Mara on, you know, on set, a couple different selfie pictures that she took.
Oh, okay.
On set, like they had been doing some scenes together or something like that. So I don't know if that's going to be something they're developing, but I've just noticed the last couple times, because was it last week that no, maybe it was this week. She came into his office and I can't remember.
No,
she's
last
talked
week,
to him a couple different times.
She was in the office last week talking to him when she was, you know, she was giving him some information on something last week.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so they've been kind of having these little
I see like
tete
a
tete, you know?
Yeah, I see like a friendship kind of thing going with that, I guess. I don't
That's
really
what I
see. Yeah,
no, I don't mean like a romantic relationship.
Oh, okay.
I just meant they seem to be connecting with each other on, like you said, because they can kind of relate to certain aspects of their lives.
Got
with
it.
Each other. So it's like they're getting this connection where they're going to be, you know, friends.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize. I completely skip over the friendship part and I go directly.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Sex.
No. So, I don't mean no.
Yeah.
They just went right to that.
So. Which gets awkward, too. I mean, so. Well, Fitz has a brilliant awakening at the end, I thought. And I missed the cues for when Radcliffe said, you know, my primary mission is to protect people. It's like my first directive or something like that. And it's like, Fitz was like right on top of that. I thought that was a brilliant play, you know, because Radcliffe, you know, there's nothing different really about him. He just happens to say some things that, you know, that about how the LMD's purpose is to protect people and stuff like that. And Fitz was taking quite a risk there, I think.
I was thinking the same thing. What if he'd been wrong?
I guess, I mean, it probably would have hurt Radcliffe, I guess, having a, what are those called again? The night gun thing.
Oh, the icers?
Yeah, the icer, you know, hits you in the head. I'm sure that would probably mess you up pretty bad, considering it took a big chunk off of the skull.
Well, yeah, that would hurt. but he seemed to know there was something that he said that was very obvious.
Yeah.
That maybe Radcliffe wouldn't have said, or that, I don't know.
Well, it was that line about, cause I think the exact line was that his primary, purpose was to protect people and, or his, you know, it was something like that. And it was almost verbatim to what Ada had said. When we met her for the first time in the beginning of the season here.
Yeah, okay. But what, nobody else in the world can say that without being LMD?
No, but, well, we know that he's sociopathic. And so, you know, his first instinct is not to protect people. I mean, if it's anything, it's to protect himself. It was very out of character for Radcliffe. And if you watch it again, if you watch just that scene again, knowing that, just listen to the way the line is read. There's no John Hannah doesn't change any intonation about the line. You know, he's not trying to milk it or anything like that. But it just sounds wrong coming from Radcliffe's mouth, given everything else we've just heard him talk about. How you know, he's he was scared, and you know, yes, he was.
So how does that happen? Well, first of all, did the fake Radcliffe realize he was not the real Radcliffe? Or did he put that programming in like May?
That's a good question. I think the fake Radcliffe knew that he was fake.
I kind of think he did too.
Probably because if I would, so May would work best not knowing who she is because she's supposed to be, it's supposed to be a secret, but Radcliffe's LMD was put in place specifically as the decoy for Radcliffe. So you would, you know, it'd be like if Ada was put in as a decoy for somebody else, you know, it would, you'd want them to know that they're the decoy because their primary mission would be to protect the person that they are right. decoying for.
Okay, so my second question then is why, you know, if these LMDs, well, the May LMD especially, is programmed to be just like May and know all these things about May and have all these personal thoughts about May, why would the fake Radcliffe say something like that? Was it just a flaw? Is it just
– so you've got – he's got a verbatim copy of Radcliffe's memories and personality. His brain, right? Let's just say sure. – you know, and that includes, you know – it's the programming, the wiring of your brain and all the memories and everything like that. But on top of that, as an LMD, he's got to have instructions on how to operate, you know, his core programming, which is probably, you know, like those three laws of robotics that we hear about, you know, and we know the main purpose of the LMDs is to protect human life. Though the Ada LMD, how did Radcliffe put it? It's like she overcorrected or something like that and killed Nathanson. That was extreme, obviously. So I think it's the reason the Radcliffe LMD would say this is because it's a conflict. You know, the programming, the core programming leaks in and mixes in with the brain stuff, and he probably just doesn't know where one starts and the other ends. It's if it's like how Radcliffe was describing the May LMD, that he's not telling her, there's no specific program for her to not tell people, but it's like these instincts. It's this, you know, he just made it so she didn't want to do these things. And it's seamless. He says you don't know where it is in there. It's all interwoven. So I think that's probably what was going on and why the Radcliffe LMD, you know, just said it, because he believed that's what he believed. That was what he thought he was, but it's not that's him. Right. It was actually the LMD programming that was mixing in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That would, especially, you know, if these things aren't perfect, but they're pretty good, but they're not perfect.
Yeah.
So, well, Fitz, you know, woke up to that, but then I also saw Simmons wake up just a little bit when she realized that Fitz was right. That is something he should have been doing, is looking into the head of Ada.
Yeah. Just going back to Radcliffe for one second, I'm wondering if he, you know, he's doing something for himself, right? He's swapped out May with the LMD so that the LMD can find the Darkhold. But he doesn't really want to do any harm to May, like at least not consciously, I guess, right? He thinks, you know, he's being...
Well, he doesn't want to kill her.
Yeah, well, he definitely doesn't want to kill her. And you know, it's like, it'll all be okay. I'm just going to get what I want, and then I'll put her back, and, like, everything will be fine. He's not thinking about the consequences. But my question is, I think he's probably going to inadvertently help her, you know, get this closure that I was talking about earlier. And while he may be seen as kind of a villain in this piece, I think he's actually going to end up doing more good than harm, hopefully, in this arc, which will be interesting. And then I'm guessing actually the final arc of the season will probably be having to deal with whatever's going on, and potentially Senator Nadir and the Inhumans coming to a head or something like that.
Yeah.
So. Hmm. Well, I want to talk a little bit about just the plot line that they had with the second LMD. We talked about it a little bit last week, how I thought that there was a second LMD in there that, you know, that would kind of be the cool writerly thing to do is to, you know, make the audience completely aware of the one LMD, because as I pointed out on S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, they're letting us know something that the letting the audience know something that the characters don't know, but they can't resist putting something in there that we don't know. And that was a second LMD, and they gave us the heads up on that very early in the episode. I think it was within the first 10 minutes. Actually, it was during the flashback pieces, I think. So I don't know about you, but I was kind of just watching everybody in the episode. And I ruled several people out immediately. And I'll tell you who. It was Daisy and Yo-Yo. I ruled them out immediately just due to the fact that they were inhuman. And, well, at least Yo-Yo was using her powers in this episode. And I felt that the LMDs probably would not be able to duplicate that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So the next person I was thinking it probably was Simmons. And that was twofold. And she was a pretty strong contender for a while for me. The first reason was I felt like maybe because Radcliffe, maybe he only makes female LMDs, you know, because that's the kind of guy he is. We had seen Ada and we had seen May, so we'd only seen like a female version of a LMD. So I thought that would be where it was going. And if she had been an LMD in there for a while, you know, she could be, well, trying to convince Fitz to stop doing investigation into the LMDs, you know, as kind of just, you know, stop digging into this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And she did kind of react like that. She was never really on my radar, surprisingly, but I can see where you would get that. I guess I just wasn't thinking, because she didn't seem close enough to what he wanted. But I maybe none of them did. I don't know. I she didn't occur to me.
What did you have thoughts on anybody?
Yeah, to be totally honest, I had a lot of thoughts about Coulson, and I am still wondering about Coulson. There's just certain things they do, certain things he does that seem suspicious to me. But maybe like you said earlier, it's a little misdirection. I don't know. I did have a feeling that it might be Coulson.
Huh. I mean, yeah. I mean, he has been acting a little bit weird this season. It was either last episode or the one before that, where there were some definite points where it's like he knows something, but you know, that's the nature of this show, right? They've put doubt into our heads so often. You know, and we really never know what Coulson's up to. Again, maybe all the stuff we're seeing now, we're going to find out that Coulson knows exactly what's going on. He knew that these were LMDs. He knew that Nadir was spying on them. Though, at this point, I think he was totally blindsided. I mean, the fact that he points out that, you know, cauliflower is bad, this was a kick in the balls. you know, just some great lines in this episode, but you know, he's always, he seems to be one step ahead a lot of the time.
Yes, he does.
And that's sometimes I think, you know, we, purposefully the producers and the writers and the directors and the actors, you know, play that up a little bit to say, wow, something's weird with Coulson, you know, what's going on. But I mean, we're in the fourth season. I think we need to trust this guy. I think, you know, he's gone through a lot and, you know, we've been there with him the entire time. And, you know, I don't think they're going to turn him bad or, you know, anything like that. So,
yeah. I mean, I guess I agree for the most part. But like you said, he seems to be one step ahead so often. And I just felt like he hasn't been lately. But, you know, that's also the how potentially bad these bad guys are is because they're ahead of him. So that makes him even more dangerous.
Well, and he wasn't really in charge.
That is true.
For the
that
last, you know, several months.
He was this time, though.
He was at this time, right, but, yeah, I mean, he's just been behind the eight ball,
I guess. He just got pwned, as they say. So, that was all. I mean, I kind of don't think he is. I really don't think he is, but there's just been some very odd things that are not quite Coulson-like that made me suspicious.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on him, Josh. See what see what we can see.
As you should.
And Mac got me thinking because, you know, he was being all lovey-dovey with Yo-Yo there. And then, you know, he gets a mysterious text message and just his demeanor changed. He became, I would say, very robot-like and said, I gotta go. And of course, brilliant miscues. I thought that was a nice revelation on how we were able to kind of get some more backstory about Mac. It's like they didn't play it up. It wasn't a huge big deal, but it was a nice, you know, a little bit more character study on this person. I like how, you know, we're getting pieces about these characters that we've been watching for 2 or 3 years now. And, you know, Yo-Yo and Coulson are having a discussion. It's like, well, wouldn't you really rather just have a, you know, huge info dump about this character rather than getting it, you know, piecemeal year after year after year or whatever? It's very much the way that they're, you know, they're giving it to the audience and stuff like this. And you know, Elena's very much like, no, I'd rather, you know, get it all right now, which I think we all would. But, you know, what's the fun in that?
So I like getting it a little bit at a time. I'm with Coulson. I think that makes you appreciate it more, and then it builds your relationship in a mm-hmm. different way.
It does. I mean, if you were just to read a bio on some new person and get all the information, I mean, like, what's to talk? I mean, you still might be able to talk about stuff, but you don't get that to investigate, you know, find out interesting things about them or, you know, what they like, what they don't like, you know, and just that is kind of the fun of getting to know people. It's not just getting a big, you know, brain dump of everything about them, which, you know, kind of goes into a lot of the different, you know, it's kind of a metaphor for a lot of different things that are happening with the show here. You know, learning about people, you know, taking all their memories and sifting through them and, you know, thinking you know somebody, but you really don't, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I talked a little bit about Talbot last week, and again, we're kind of back to that constant nature of General Talbot. You know, he's always lying. So Phil thinks that he's got him in this lie, like, you know, oh, obviously he's the leak, but, you know, he's not. And at that point, I don't know why Coulson would believe him or anything like that, because as he pointed out, you know, he lied about these previous missions that they were on and stuff like that. And, but, you know, but he's got their back, right? It's like, he's a jerk and Coulson knows he's a jerk. But at the end of the day, I think Talbot does have respect for Coulson and for S.H.I.E.L.D. He just doesn't want to get, he doesn't want to go through these hassles of, you know, being thought a traitor or something like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think probably Coulson has a little bit of respect for Talbot as well. Maybe not in how he handles things, but what he believes. I think Talbot is a good man, and I think Coulson knows he's a good man.
I do. I think so. And again, I think Coulson knows how far he can push Talbot, but also like which way Talbot will bend. You know, for the most part, I think this episode might have surprised Coulson a little bit in the way that Talbot, you know, hung in there with them and stuff. But
yeah,
you know, obviously he's pissed, and it is dark days ahead for the team. Yeah, definitely. Well,
speaking of Talbot, I wanted a little side note on something he said. I consider myself a bit of a cereal connoisseur. Oh. I eat a lot of breakfast cereal.
Oh, I hear that on your other podcast all the time.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We talk about that a lot on the Techno Retro Dance. But I just wanted to say, out of all of the Pebbles,
yes,
fruity, cocoa,
yes,
the worst tasting are fart Pebbles.
Oh,
that's just thought I'd point that out. Those are my least favorite.
Me, so. me.
Talbot apparently has some kind of feelings about them, but he had some interesting lines.
I must say that, you know, in the past like 20 years of movies, they have created some really interesting military characters on film and television, and like going all the way back to the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. But for me, the most memorable characters in the military are, you know, these ones that they're really tough and they cuss a lot. And they really want to make Talbot that character, but he's on TV and he's on ABC and he's owned by Disney. So I like that he comes up with these really PG or PG-13 ways to curse and to say things on the show that, you know, would, you know, if this were a movie or HBO, he'd be, you know, using much more
colorful
colorful expletives. Yes. So, and I do just want to point out my favorite line. When I heard these words come out of his mouth, I was just laughing my butt off. It was Talbot's line where he says, "This is politics, Phil," which means politicians. "They are a festering cesspool of toxic waste fires." You know, and this episode was, you know, probably made, you know, a month or two ago. But boy, it sure felt very prescient right there on Tuesday night. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. It sure did.
So, we got any feedback this week that you wanted to share here?
Well, speaking of Talbot and all his amazing lines, we did get a little message from Matt on Facebook talking about some of Talbot's lines from a couple weeks ago or last week. He's the hammer shatters glass but hardens steel.
Yes.
You are glass, that one. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And what else did he say? Okay, Pushkin, I'll go get a hammer.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was good because Pushkin was the Russian general from the James Bond movies.
Yes.
So.
So that was a very good comeback, by the way. So Matt says, fun fact, in high school, General Talbot was the president of the Snappy Comeback Club. I'm going to have to agree. Although Fart Pebbles was not one that he won any kind of debates on or anything.
No. That's just like, you know, I mean, how do you respond to that? It's just, that's a winning, winning quote right there. So, and some of the references this week, just kind of callbacks to episodes that we previously saw. We talked about both these. We got to see a replay of the fight in Bahrain from the cavalry episode from, I think that was last year. I think that would have been season three. But of course, it ended a little bit differently than it did originally in May's mind here.
Is it wrong for me to you know, after all this is said and done, to want May to be able to keep that particular memory?
I would like May to be happy. I mean, she's, even though she is probably the strongest individual on the team, just in terms of like fortitude, she leads a very lonely existence. I mean, she's, you know, she couldn't make it with Andrew. Just, you know, they obviously had problems. They, you know, and she's been a mess.
Well, because of this, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's when their problems started. And I love that you said how lonely she was, because they even had her calling Andrew at the end of that scene, which made it even more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That how lonely she is. Number one, because he's dead, and number two, because you know, that really was the start of her issues with him and their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of the her descent into you know, whatever.
It's like sadness.
Yeah. And then we got the answers to the hope picture that Mac was looking at the before the mid-season finale there. Little Hope McKenzie, who only lived 4 days. Very sad story.
Very sad.
They come up with some really heartbreaking things to talk about. So maybe at some point we'll get to meet his ex. I don't know that would be necessary for any reason. Yeah. I feel like that, you know, we've answered the questions here that Mac has, just a little bit more background for the character. I think we've pretty much gotten background for all the characters now. We're close to getting some characters being happy, which means...
Oh, that, that's not good.
Yeah, they'd be ready to get killed there or something like that. So, well, a really solid episode kept me guessing through the episode, as I mentioned, and some good continuing good setup for what's going on. I really want to get in with the bad guys more. They're doing a really good job of teasing Senator Nadir and this the superior character. So if it is next week that we start to get some answers on that, it'll be about time. I'd like to find out a little bit more, because these people are causing me to be high anxiety here whenever I watch the show.
yeah, great episode. Like you said, solid, good mystery, good character development, good plot development, fantastic choreography. I wanted to point that out.
That.
We didn't even
yeah.
talk about that. And just some amazing fight scenes. This series continues to surprise me in fantastic ways. And I just cannot encourage people that I talk to enough to get into this series.
Yeah. I'm still my coworker. I think he's about halfway through the third season, if not a little bit further. I keep encouraging him to hurry up and catch up so he can watch the Ghost Rider stuff and then finish out here with the LMD stuff, because like he's really enjoying where they got to. He was impressed that, you know, I kept telling him he's got to stick with it, and he did, and he's glad he did. And I keep telling him it gets better. So, well, Josh, whether you are an LMD or the real Josh, thank you for joining me this week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And we will join each other again next week and see what we have going on then.
Hey, I appreciate your kindness and courtesy, despite the fact that you don't know, you know, whether I'm me or whether I'm here to kill you all. So I think that's really nice of you to show that that just common courtesy to people. Very polite.
That's concerning.
Well, if all of you out there are feeling the same as Jay and appreciate me no matter who I am, and you enjoyed this episode, I'd love to hear some feedback from you on iTunes. So just head over to iTunes, get on the little comment thing, and, you know, type a few things. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. Or if you want to actually just talk to us, we love hearing from you guys. Send us an email. Our email address is shield@randomchatter.com. Also, we are over there hanging out on the Twitters at Agents Podcast, or our Facebook page, where you can find comments from people, pictures, news, information about upcoming shows, things like that. Those are all over at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
I think I've got one. I've just got one final question for you, though. If
okay.
I were to ask you to open the pod bay doors, what would you tell me?
You seem upset.
Would you be able to do that?
What is it that you're doing, Dave?
Oh,
what do you want?
All right. Well, I think that answers my question right there. So, well, you can check out The Real Josh and myself on our other shows that we do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, where, in fact, one of us is dead but has come back from the grave again, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast in which one or both of us are time travelers and or evil, all via randomchatter.com. The shows are also available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. That would be awesome. We like getting new listeners on the show. And for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Mission terminated.